NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Two great locations, Shank South on McLeod Trail and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot. Shank Sports Grill, your home for the NFL.
Good afternoon, Jason. Happy conference championship weekend to you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How's everything there?
Oh, it's good. It's minus a million here, but other than that, we're getting through and waiting for Sunday for some NFL. I believe the last CBS broadcast of the year, is that correct?
This is it, our last NFL today of the season and our last game broadcast of the season. Yeah, parting is such sweet sorrow.
And we all knew going into this year that the last CBS broadcast would, in fact, feature Ryan Tannehill quarterbacking a team.
Right.
So things just
absolutely
playing out the way we all thought it would.
Yeah, yes, Vegas, we were all over that.
yeah, exactly. Hey,
you know, every year there are twists and turns and you know, things that nobody saw coming. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes being in the Final Four, not a surprise. But I didn't think Green Bay would. San Francisco I thought would be improved, but not improved to the point where they're arguably the best team in football, and you know, you could make that case on any given week for a long period of time. And then, I mean, Tannehill and the Titans, all props to Mike Vrabel, man. He made a bold move, and Marcus Mariota had been a made man in that organization for a long time, and there was a lot of people invested in that pick paying off, and they had precious little invested in Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, Vrabel made a decision he thought was best for his football team. It turned out to be genius. And, Tannehill benefits from the run game, and they have some other things going on there. But he completely changed the course of that season, that team, that franchise, and the offense. They didn't change anything other than him. And the run game got 50 to 60 yards better. That's not because Derrick Henry all of a sudden changed. That's because you have to defend them a little bit differently when you have a guy playing big-time quarterback. And I know he's only thrown for about 150 combined yards the last 2 weeks. He'll throw for more this week, I guarantee you. In a win or a loss, he'll throw for more. He's going to have to. But he played the position at an incredibly high level for the final 2 months of the season, and that's the only reason they got in the playoffs in the first place.
As far as improbable runs go, even if it ends on Sunday, with Tannehill coming in, just how you laid all that out, and now in the playoffs, potentially ending the Patriot dynasty and then beating the soon-to-be-crowned MVP, this is an unbelievable run.
Yeah, and then if they were to beat last year's MVP in his building, that would be pretty special. I liken it a little bit to 2012 with the Ravens, where you know, it wasn't the best Ravens team. They had a scratch and scrounge to get in the playoffs, and then, you know, they went on a pretty darn good run themselves, you know, and they knocked off Peyton Manning and Tom Brady on the road, to get there, and then obviously beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the most recent one that sort of comes to mind, you know, where Joe Flacco went from a guy thought of as, you know, solid NFL starting quarterback to somebody who during those playoffs, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he was playing the best football of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was an incredible run that I think some people in Baltimore still think could happen today with a Joe Flacco, as we found out last year with the
Flacco-Lamar Jackson. I think the MVP season from Lamar is pretty much, I think it's wiped out the Flacco truthers, so I think we're okay.
Okay, good. As far as Tennessee is concerned, to have a chance in this game against a Kansas City offense that put on a show last weekend, can it be a Ryan Tannehill under 100 passing yards game again, or is Derrick Henry enough to rely on for them?
No, there's going to have to be more explosive plays from the offense. I mean, they got by with one explosive play out of the passing game last week. It's going to take, I think, a minimum of five this week to keep pace, because Kansas City is going to move the ball. I mean, the Titans' defense has been improved in the playoffs, but it's not an elite defense. And Mahomes is, look, Kansas City at home is, if you hold them to 28 to 31, you've probably done your job as a defense. The key is, how does Tennessee score into the 30s on the road in a hostile environment one of the loudest stadiums in the league, and I think that's going to require, again, splash plays from the passing game. It can't be, you know, all, you know, 15-play, 70-yard drives with just Derrick Henry as a sledgehammer. I mean, there'll be plenty of that, and that's how you can kind of stop the game flow a little bit, slow the game down. You'll see them from the first snap on, snapping the ball under 5 seconds like they did against Baltimore, bleeding that clock. But Mahomes is going to score points quickly, and at a certain point, you've got to open it up a little bit to keep pace. You know, I think A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, I think each of those guys probably needs to have 5 receptions at least and a couple of long ones if they're going to, you know, if they're going to hang in this thing. And they can. I'm not saying that's impossible, but I don't think they're going to be able to execute the script that they have against New England and against Baltimore.
From a Kansas City perspective, an unbelievable comeback a week ago to get to the AFC Championship game. Was that kind of the, okay, this offense is fully back? Because it felt like people had kind of forgotten about this offense. Are they back to the Kansas City offense you remember from a year ago?
Yeah. I mean, 28 points in less than a quarter. 51-7 run in professional football. That's crazy talk. And it could have been, they could have scored, it could have been 58-7, it could have been 63-7, or 62, whatever, 61. They stopped in the fourth quarter because there really was nothing to gain by throwing the ball anymore. But, that's, and then look, yeah, you guys know I'm not a big Houston Texans guy. I think they're fugazi. They win a bunch of meaningless games in a regular season. And then when it's go time, they're usually one and out. But that's impressive. I mean, that was against a pro football team. And yeah, so I don't know how you look at that film and don't think, my God, again, if the Titans keep them to, you know, around 30 points, that's the best you can ask out of your defense. I honestly think that's the case.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's just, it feels like a juggernaut again from a Kansas City perspective. Moving into the NFC, San Francisco going up against the Green Bay Packers. These two teams met before. It didn't go particularly well from a Green Bay standpoint. How did the Packers kind of improve upon that outing now here in the NFC Championship game?
You know, we're going to have to see the kind of passing game we saw last week. With Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers really hooking up, and it kind of starting to look like some vintage Aaron Rodgers. The problem is they're facing a much better secondary. And the front four, Minnesota's front four is legit, but San Francisco's is another level. And I just think the Packers are going to run up into some problems at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. But Aaron Rodgers, if they cut it loose and they realize that they put it in Aaron Rodgers' hands instead of putting it in the running back's hands, then anything's possible. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is you know, one of the very best to ever do it. And, I think Matt LaFleur is going to realize that the script of how they won games through the season might not apply here. You know, that's a team like Baltimore that is so used to playing with the lead. I'm not sure that's going to be the case in this one. I'm not sure they're going to be able to play it at their pace. And, some teams can adapt on the fly and others can't. And we'll find out a little bit more about Matt LaFleur in this game, I think.
That Packer game last weekend against Seattle kind of felt like every Packer game this season, where they come out, start really hot, and then
game.
Things...
Yeah. I mean,
I guess we should have all seen that coming with how both teams play. But is there something in particular that Green Bay either does in the first half and doesn't do in the second half, or vice versa, that is causing all of these games to go Green Bay heavy in the first half, opponent heavy in the second half?
I think part of it is Matt LaFleur and the 15 to 20 play script. They tend to be pretty successful on early drives. And they tend to, in my sort of, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but anecdotally, I feel like they create a lot of first-half turnovers. I feel like they probably must be among the league leaders in points off takeaways in the first half of games. I know for parts of the season, they were just coming in droves. And I think that's allowed them to do what they want to do, which is they get up on people and then they can tee off a little bit with the pass rush, and Patton can blitz a little more and they can have some fun. And then they take the air out of the ball offensively with, you know, the running backs, and they play the game the way they want to play it. I'll be very interested to see game flow and what the down and distances are like and what the scoreboard's like early. because, you know, again, we do see teams sometimes when they're confronted with situations they haven't been in a whole lot, melt down a little bit under the weight of the postseason. And that 49ers defense, that's pretty formidable. So the chess match will be interesting in this one.
If you have a lean on either game, who do you think we're going to see in the Super Bowl?
I like the home teams. I do. I'm not always a big chalk guy, but I think at least one of these games is probably a blowout. I don't know that we'll be lucky enough to see two great games. I think it might just one of these it might just snowball. And if I had to guess, I think it could be our game on CBS. I just wonder if this is where the story ends for the Titans. Particularly if this is a run-and-gun game, I just don't think they have the firepower to keep up.
As far as the teams who didn't make it to this point, obviously we have to start with the Baltimore Ravens, as they were pretty heavily favored going into that Tennessee Titans game, and I don't think anyone really saw that coming. Is this just chalked up to a bad day to have a bad day, or where do the Ravens go from here now?
Well, I mean, I think that's what happened, but that, you know, that's not going to be good enough if that happens in the first round of the playoffs again next year. You know, this is two straight years. This is a team that used to be unbeatable at home in the playoffs, and teams change from year to year. So when you're comparing franchises over the period of 10 years or 15, then obviously it's a completely different cast of characters. But, you know, their season next year starts in January. I mean, that's their reality. The positives, though, is, you know, look, Eric DaCosta has done a tremendous job since taking over as GM. Most of their best players are under the age of 25, and they can't even make real money if they wanted to because they're not, you know, through their third season yet. They've got more cap space than they've had in probably a decade, probably more than that, honestly. And they've got roster flexibility, and they've got payroll flexibility. They don't have a lot of what's called committed cash in payroll to next year, guaranteed dollars that you know are going into your payroll. They you know, it's time for Steve Bisciotti, the owner, to start dipping into his pockets and doing some extensions and then also making something happen in free agency. I mean, this is a franchise that has not been able to draft receivers. And Hollywood Brown looks like the real thing, but just Google Ravens wide receiver draft picks. It's ugly. They need another wideout. They need an upgrade in the slot. I mean, Willie Snead's is an okay football player, but he's not a mismatch. He's not going to win in the slot. I would not be surprised if they target Emmanuel Sanders in free agency on a 2-year deal, put him in the slot, and then maybe draft a size receiver to complement Brown on the outside. And, you know, defensively, if they don't franchise tag Matt Judon, shame on them, because they've got the flexibility to do so. And they're going to have to continue to draft on that side of the ball as well, particularly their front seven. They need a middle linebacker. They need somebody on the edge to complement Judon. I don't expect them to make a splash in free agency, but I could see them adding some complementary pieces in free agency and then really targeting a pass rusher in the first round.
Staying in the Ravens division, the Cleveland Browns coaching search is over. Kevin Stefanski in as the new head man for the Cleveland Browns. Do we have any idea yet of who will be his general manager? And is there any concern that Cleveland's kind of going the opposite of the normal order of operations where a GM gets to hire his coach and not the opposite kind of way around?
There should always be concern regarding anything the Cleveland Browns do. Always, as a rule. If Jimmy Haslam's involved, it could go sideways and fast. I expect them to hire Andrew Berry. I know they're making this into a production, but they made their head coaching search into a production, and it was always Stefanski's to lose. Paul DePodesta has a very strong working relationship with Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry wanted to hire Kevin Stefanski last year when he was working under DePodesta still in Cleveland before they let him go to the Eagles. I just have a hard time seeing that that's not where this is going. Will it work? I don't know, guys. Again, nothing has worked there. I think Kevin Stefanski in the right situation could be a fine NFL coach. I don't think we're going to find that out here because he's not in there. I don't think he's going to end up being in the right situation.
Jason, always fun, sir. Thank you for doing this. Enjoy the last broadcast of the year, and we'll chat next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the games.
NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Two great locations, Shank South on McLeod Trail and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot. Shank Sports Grill, your home for the NFL.